Welcome.
Thank you.
I love you all, no exceptions, because all is well. Extremely well. Except Ed. Life is a joke. Why some of us take it so seriously, I'll never know. We become so serious about things. Like it's the end of the world. If this happens or if that happens. So what? Let it happen. You will find if you let things happen and you don't interfere too much, it'll be in your favor in the end. You'll get it in the end. Learn to love life the way it is. Not the way you want it to be. You have your preconceived ideas how life should be, how people should act, how things should be everywhere. Learn to leave it alone. You don't interfere with anybody or anything. And you'll be happy. It's only when you interfere that you become unhappy. When you interfere with your own experiences, your own life, you become unhappy. When you interfere with somebody else's life, you become unhappy. The idea is to leave everybody alone, leave yourself alone, be centered, live in the moment, forget about the past, do not think about the future, and you'll be the happiest person on earth if you can do this. Really. Everyone wants to be self-realized. They're looking for a pie up in the sky. Where would the self-realization come from? If consciousness is all there is, there's no special place that you become self-realized in. For you're already dead. You're already pure and shining and bright. There's nothing else to do. Nothing else to become. Stop searching. Stop looking. Become still. Be yourself. And you'll be free. By all means, quiet the mind. Keep from thinking so much. From wavering from subject to subject. Since we're all self-realized already, for those of you who don't know it, don't believe it, there are certain pointers we'll talk about today, which I call pointers to self-realization. And when it comes to me, I'll say them. Otherwise, I'll just keep still. Which is better. Okay, the first point is this. You should always be at satsang or in the company of a sage someplace. This is the highest teaching in the world. In all the scriptures, in all the Upanishads, everywhere it tells you this. Find the company of a sage and be at satsang. It is this will awaken you. I'm not necessarily talking about myself. For those of you who know me, realize I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for name or fame or anything at all. I've been running away from name and fame for 45 years. Escaping people, and here I am, talking about these things. It is only when you're in the company of a sage at satsang that things really begin to happen, sooner or later. True. yet you will find that you can you become bored after a while. You go to satsang after a year or so, you've heard everything, you've seen everything, and you become sort of bored. This is true only of Westerners. Westerners want to be active all the time. They want to come to satsang and hear new speeches, new stories. Always remember satsang is not a lecture, it's not a sermon. I'm not going looking for material that I'm going to talk about. When you go to a church, the minister researches his material, looks through books to see what he's going to say, talk about. And he has a lecture for Sunday. Satsang is not like that. Satsang is sitting with a sage, being still, being quiet, coming from the heart. Not looking for words or teachings or anything else. Just opening your heart, coming here and keeping still. Everything will take care of itself. This is what satsang is. But here there are some of us all the time are looking for new thrills. We want new experiences. We say, I've been with Robert for so long. Let's go hear somebody else. What about a new being coming to town? And we go to see this person, looking, hoping he'll give us some new words. But you always have to remember that traveling yogis do so because they've said enough where they've come from. It's a hometown, people have heard them again and again and again. And they go someplace else without fresh material. I think they're great. But if I live with them and be with them over and over again, like most of you here, you get bored. You hear it again and again. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun. Truth is truth. It may be presented differently by different teachers, but truth is truth. Those of you who are real wise understand why you're coming to satsang. Never to listen to a lecture. Never to listen to a speech. But you're coming because you are. You're a pure being. Therefore you come to satsang, you open your heart, you become free and liberated. Try to understand what I'm saying. There's no place to go, there's nothing to do. Be easy on yourself, be gentle on yourself. Find a sage that you can trust. When you find a sage, surrender to the self. Surrender all of your longings, your problems, everything that's been bothering you, annoying you, things that depress you. Surrender all these things to the sage, which is yourself. And you'll be okay. You'll feel wonderful. Ramana Maharshi had approximately 15 devotees. I've been with him for 35, 40 years. They were there because I had a new speech to give them, a new words to share with them. He hardly said anything. visitors would come, newcomers would come from all over the world, ask questions. The devotees would listen, know exactly what he was going to say, word by word. They knew I was going to answer every question, because they heard it for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, the same thing again and again. Would they get bored? Never. We were in the presence of consciousness, with themselves. We in the West used to go to a church and listen to the lectures. I don't expect the minister to be eloquent, to say question elocution, to speak beautifully, and give them a new sermon every week. This is entirely different. Completely different. You're not here to listen to the words. You're here to listen to the space between the words. That's point number one. Point number two. The sage will give you a practice to do. The sage will tell you you don't really have to do anything. You're already free. There's no practice, there's nothing. All the same, he or she will give you some practice too. Because it's important the sage understands when you're by yourself and you never start saying the world has a hold of you. It can make you turn, make you fret, make you worry, make you upset. So the sage gives you certain things to do. In this teaching, what you've been told to do is practice self-inquiry and surrender. You practice self-inquiry by every time you get up in the morning. You inquire, where am I? And you watch your mind, you watch your thoughts. As thoughts come to you, you inquire, to whom do these thoughts come? Where do they come from? They came to me. Who am I? Where is this source? You do this as soon as you wake up, you do this. As soon as you open your eyes. Where is the source of my thoughts? You try to catch the mind when you open your eyes in the morning, going from the heart to the brain. And you realize as soon as the mind goes from the heart to the brain, you remember I am. And that's when I am begins to function. I am thirsty, I am hungry, I am poor, I am sad, I am sick, I am well, I am happy, I am sad. This is called the I thought. But if you watch it and follow it to the brain and keep looking at it, something wonderful will happen. It will start reversing itself. And go from the brain back to the heart. We'll be completely free of thought. This is what happens. You understand that the I-thought is the source of all your problems. Not the world, the people, the places, the things. The I-thought. The reason this is called the I-thought is because it doesn't really exist. It's a thought. So now you've picked up like a cold. And now it's ruining your life. Well, all you really have to do is follow the I-thought back to the heart center. You'll be free. By remembering to do these things, you grow spiritually. Just by remembering. By remembering that you have absolutely nothing to do with your life, your so-called life has been preordained, predestined, whatever you're going through is necessary for your unfoldment. It's all good, very good indeed. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing going on that shouldn't go on. Then you'll be safe. Just by realizing what I just said. That you're not responsible for yourself. The power which makes the sun shine, makes the oranges grow on orange trees, makes the rice grow, makes the mangoes grow on mango trees, takes care of you. Knows how to take care of your affairs and you. And there's nothing that you have to do. Except let go. Let go completely and entirely. Let go. Stop fighting. Just by realizing what I said, relieves you of any burdens of life, frees you of all kinds of circumstances you're involved in, makes you happy. The next thing you do is you surrender totally, completely to the self. You try to understand intellectually that there's a self that is within you. There's all pervading pure spirit consciousness. There's a self that is all pervading. And you are that. You are that self. It's called pure awareness. Absolute reality. It is you. You are that. When you get up in the morning, surrender all of your stuff to the self. All of your hurts, all of your past, all of your fears, all of your frustrations. Give it up to the self. Let the self deal with it. You can even speak to it. You can say, take it, self. Take it from me. Take my burdens. Take my problems. Take all this stuff that's been hounding me for so many years. I give it all to you and I'm free of it. And as you go through the day, you practice self-inquiry wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And practice surrender at the same time. If you practice these things, you'll be happy. You'll be free. You'll have no problems. The third point, though, is having an aversion to the world. Having an aversion to the world. If you love the world as a world, and become attached to it, you'll never be free. You can't be free. If you love the world as reality. But if you love the world as Brahman, that's a different story. If you love the world as God, and absolute reality, that's a different story. But then you're living the self. For Brahman, reality, the self is one. And if you love the world as that, then you're safe. But if you love the world as a world, then you're separate from it, and bring you problems and troubles. Therefore, you have to have a sort of aversion for the world. By aversion, I mean don't hate the world. Just leave it alone, don't take it seriously. Have nothing to do with it. What you have to do in this world will be done by you, one way or another. There's nothing for you to worry about, nothing for you to be upset about. Look at the world. And react to it. You never want anything to do with it. Let go of it. That's what you have to do. There's nothing hard about this. You just have to remember certain things. I'm not a body or the mind. I'm not my experiences. I'm not my past or my future. I am that I am. I am the ultimate reality. The self. Perfect wisdom. Pure joy. I am that. I've always been that. No longer will I be frightened by this world and its manifestations. I know I am now. Do all these things in the morning when you first get up, when you first wake up. As soon as you open your eyes, become aware of yourself. As soon as you awaken. Do not think of worldly things, for they change. They're always changing. So this means if you're holding on to something worldly, you'll always be disappointed. You'll always be disappointed, always. Because it changes, changes, changes. You say to yourself, I've got everything going for me in the right way. I got money in the bank, I'm healthy. I have a nice boyfriend, nice girlfriend. I have a car, a house. That's the day. What will happen tomorrow? You don't know. I have no idea what will happen tomorrow. But you have enough experiences in your life to notice that things change all the time. You're going through the vicissitudes of life and realize that things are changing completely, constantly, all the time, always changing. Therefore, you have to identify with something that does not change, which is reality, yourself. You are the one. All the answers are within you. Everything you're looking for is within you. Everything. You have all the power that exists within you. There's nothing missing. You got it all. But you refuse to acknowledge it. Instead you look at the situation and you say, this is wrong, this is not right. I'm unhappy because it's not going this way, this is not going that way. This is the only mistake you make by saying these things, by feeling these things. For if you accept every condition that came to you, peacefully, joyously, happily, without trying to change it or get rid of it, then you find yourself in the right place where you're supposed to be. You'll find freedom, happiness, joy. Stop fighting life, stop fighting people, stop fighting yourself. There's absolutely nothing wrong anywhere. The only thing that's ever wrong is things not going the way that you want them to. Everything else is right. There's nothing wrong, nothing. Everything is beautiful, everything is right. Just the way it is. You are the whole universe. All the planets, galaxies are all within you. You are the world, actually, you are the world, the whole world. It's all within you. You are created out of yourself. Where else would it come from? There's no God up in the sky that creates a world. You are that God yourself. You are that. You've always been that. Know yourself. Feel the peace within yourself right now. Feel your own inner happiness. Feel the joy which you are.
What is the best use of satsang? When the sage is sitting in his samadhi, should we contemplate his form or his state, or try to intuit his state, or should we just keep our eyes closed?
There are two things you can do. One is to keep your eyes closed and try to make your mind as empty as possible. And the power of the sage will go into you. It's called grace. You already have it. It's already there. You'll awaken to it. The next thing you can do is see the form of the sage in your heart. Father's form into the heart. See his light. Bright light. Beautiful light. I see yourself merging in the light and in the sage both. There's only one. There's one sage, there's one light. There's one entity. There's one. There's only either one. Whatever feels right at the time.
As far as leaving the world alone, sometimes I find that comes too easy. And I'll just be in my apartment and I could just spend the day in silence and meditating or just quiet. And I'm finding there's like something missing for me, because then when I come out of that, there's all these responsibilities that I haven't taken care of. And it seems like financially things are falling apart.
If you're doing it correctly, what will happen to you? You'll be given the insight of what to do. You will know what to do. Anyone who surrenders to the self, self always takes care of them. So you'll find that you're doing the right thing, which you're supposed to do. You'll go to the right places, get the right job. But if you're doing it in a way where you're worried about it, and you're doing it but you're hoping something's going to happen, then it's no good. Because you're really feeling lack of limitation. Let go of all feelings, open your heart up, and then things will begin to happen. By intuition, if you're told what to do, where to go, take care of yourself and be okay.
Is there really any difference between the Buddhist teachings and the Advaita? Because I think the Buddhist teachings came out of the Advaita, from like the generation at one point of Advaita, and then they came out with teaching that there's no self.
In the ultimate, they're both the same. But for beginning, when they begin, there seems to be a difference. Because Buddhism has all kinds of rules and regulations, frustrations, things you have to do. I've always done this, that has nothing like that at all. So in the beginning, the difference. But as you get deeply involved in both, they reach the same goal. You finally turn into the same thing. There's no self, no mind, no false imagination. And the one self is you. So they both answer the same thing eventually. Only in the beginning is the difference. There's only one truth. You are that.
I find that find when I'm in the presence of the truth, whether I'm hearing it or reading it or meditating or being still, it's easy to believe that it's true. But I'm wondering why it's hard to maintain that.
Because you're going through the world, and the world is upon you. The world is Maya, mind, false imagination. And it's a tremendous pull on people. So you feel good like being here, setting you up in the street, and all of a sudden the world gets a hold of you and pulls you and makes you see all kinds of weird things, makes you feel depressed, upset. But at that time you just keep still and watch. Don't react to it. That's the point, do not react to it. Just watch your mind thinking, watch your mind being upset, laugh at yourself, and it'll dissipate, it'll go away. But if you take it seriously, you think something's wrong, you get mad at yourself, you get angry, this gives the ego more power. Do it again and again. When anything happens like that, just watch it, look at it, don't take it seriously, and it'll disappear.
Does there come a point where you don't have to keep hearing it over?
Yes, of course. Now a reading from the Ashtavakra Gita by Edmund.